League of 115, this is your podcast for week numbers 4 and 5. In weeks 4 and 5, we go into intestacy or intestate estates, dying without a will. I'm spending 2 weeks on this because, as you might imagine, a lot of people die without a will. And there's some misconceptions about what happens if you die without a will. We're going to clear that up in the next week and then the week after. There's also a statute that provides guidance on what happens if somebody dies without a will. But this is also a good introduction to estates in general. And eventually we will get to probate. And as it turns out, there's two types of estates. There's estates where somebody dies with a will, and there's an estate where somebody doesn't have a will. You don't need to worry about either having a will or dying without a will if you plan your property in certain ways, and we'll also cover that. Both introduce it this week and then over the next few weeks. So I asked you to read an article on findlaw.com that pretty well summarizes and provides a nice scenario to introduce what I'm going to talk about. If you haven't read that article, stop and go back and do that. I'm going to also ask you to find the Illinois statute and then familiarize yourself with it and the requirements. And you're going to do an assignment this week that shows that you have an understanding in general of the intestate succession laws in Illinois. The statute for intestate succession is found at 755 ILCS 5/2-1. It's titled Descent, D-E-S-C-E-N-T, Descent, and Distribution. If you die without a will in Illinois, your assets will go to your closest relatives under the state's intestate succession statute. So here's some details on how it works in Illinois. Only assets that would have passed through your will are affected by intestate succession laws. Usually that includes only assets that you own alone in your own name. Many valuable assets don't go through your will and aren't affected by intestate succession laws. So here's some examples. If you've transferred property by a living trust, and we'll get into trust in later weeks of the semester. Life insurance proceeds paid to beneficiaries. If you have life insurance, you list beneficiaries. The whole idea is that that money goes directly to the people you have listed as a beneficiary. If, for some reason, you had listed beneficiaries and those people aren't around anymore, then it becomes problematic. But as long as you have beneficiaries that can be identified, they're alive, life insurance flows to those people. It doesn't have to go through probate either with the will or without a will. Same for other types of investments, funds in an IRA, a 401k, and a retirement account, securities held in a transfer on death account, real estate held. We covered real estate last week. Real estate held by a transfer on death deed, so joint tenancy with right of survivorship. Payable on death bank accounts or joint tenancy bank accounts, sometimes called joint accounts, that are payable or transferred directly to the other person who owns that account, or where a beneficiary is listed on those accounts. Property you own with somebody else in joint tenancy, I covered tenancy by the entirety. These assets will pass to the surviving co-owner or the beneficiary you named, whether or not you have a will. Now remember what happens with tenants in common. That's a whole different situation. So other than these things, for everything else, if you die without a will, and you have children but no spouse, your children inherit everything. If you have a spouse but no descendants, no children, and no grandchildren, nobody after you down the line, the spouse inherits everything. If you have a spouse and descendants, the spouse inherits half, and the descendants inherit half. So think about that for a minute. So the spouse gets half, and then if you have descendants, those can be, if you have three children, if you have, say, so if you have three children, it goes to each, that half, that other half, goes to those three children in equal shares. If one of those children has also passed away, and they had two children, well, then that second half that the spouse doesn't get goes to those two children. They get a third of that half, right? I'm not going to get into the fractions, but we can do that if we have to. That remaining third is divided equally by the two grandchildren, the surviving descendants of your son, daughter, your first level descendant. If you have parents but no spouse, no descendants, and no siblings, your parents get everything. They inherit everything. If you have siblings but no spouse, no descendants, no parents, the siblings inherit everything. If you have parents and siblings, the parents and the siblings inherit your estate property in equal shares, except that if only one parent is living, that parent gets a double share. So both parents are alive. You have no, descendants or spouse, and you have three siblings. They each get 20%. Let's talk about the spouse's share. That's a term you should be familiar with. In Illinois, if you were married and you die without a will, what your spouse gets depends on whether or not you have living descendants, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. If you don't, then the spouse inherits all of your estate property. If you do, they and your spouse share your intestate property 50-50. So however many, going down that line and you go across and down, if there's nobody across, but there's somebody down, and you keep going down. Think of this in terms of a family tree. I used to, when I taught this course, have you go through the exercise of creating your family tree for the purpose of intestate succession. I'm not going to have you do that this semester. But if you think of it in those terms, those relatives that you have in those directions. For children, if you die without a will in Illinois, your children will receive an intestate share of your property. The size of the child's share depends on how many children you have and whether or not you're married. For children to inherit from you under the laws of intestacy, Illinois must consider them your children. And that means your legal children. For many families, it's not confusing, but sometimes it's not always clear, and if you're taking family law, where we're going to delve into non-marital families, the waters can be muddy. So here are some things to keep in mind. Adopted children. Children you legally adopt, they are adopted by order of the court. They will receive an intestate share just as your biological children do. I have three adopted children. My three adopted children are my children just as if they were, my naturally born children. That's what the law says. Foster children and stepchildren. Foster children and stepchildren you never legally adopted will not automatically receive a share. So anybody who wants to leave something to foster children or stepchildren, they need to have a will. I once did a will for a lady who she had in her lifetime, she had over 50 foster children, over 50. And she had a couple in particular who had remained close to her as she aged, and she wanted to include them in her will, and she included them as if at the same level and for the same amount of property or percentage-wise as she did her own children. Children placed for adoption. If a child was placed for adoption and they're legally adopted by another family, they will not receive a share of their birth parents' intestate property unless the decree for adoption specifically provided for continuation of inheritance rights. Children who don't survive, posthumous children. Children conceived by you but not born before your death, they will receive a share. So in other words, you pass away while that child is still in utero. The child's not born yet. That child is entitled to a share even though they weren't born, physically born, at the time you were you passed away or the decedent passed away. Children born outside the marriage. If you're not married to your children's mother when she gave birth to them, they will receive a share of your estate if you acknowledged your paternity or if during your lifetime or after your death, the court establishes paternity. Okay, so if paternity is acknowledged or proven or is established, then even though you're not married, that's your kid. And we cover that pretty well in family law. You know, kids are the kids of their parents until they're not kids of their parents. And then that's the adoption situation. Artificial insemination. A child born through artificial insemination after your death will receive a share if you consented in writing to the use of your biological matter and the child was born within 36 months of your death. So in other words, that insemination can't happen 36 years if they could keep it. There's a time frame, a window that closes that would also coincide with reasonableness of closing out an estate. That's a little more complicated, though. And I've never seen. If one of you come up with a case like that next week or this week, next week when we look at the cases, you'll get a gold star for sure. Grandchildren. A grandchild will receive a share only if that grandchild's parent, your son or daughter, is not alive to receive their share. So, and I talked about that a little while ago when I was explaining those different levels. So if you have three children and one of those children has passed away, but they had two children of their own, those two children, your grandchildren, would receive the property. If you die without a will and you don't have any family, your property will what we call escheat, E-S-C-H-E-A-T, escheat, into the state's coffers. However, this very rarely happens. It just rarely happens, because when you've looked at the statute, the laws are designed, that statute is designed to get your property to anyone who is even remotely related to you. For example, your property won't go to the state if you leave a spouse, children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, siblings, nieces, nephews, cousins, or great-grandparents. It's, pretty rare that someone doesn't have, essentially we're talking about, going back up the family tree a couple generations, or going down the family tree or out. So it's pretty difficult to find that circumstance where the state's going to get it. It happens, and what I asked you to read for this week provides an example of that, but it's not a common occurrence. So here's a few other things that you should know about the laws of intestacy in Illinois. The survivorship period. To inherit under Illinois intestate succession statutes, a person must outlive you by 120 hours. 120 hours, that's what the statute says. So, if you and your brother are in a car accident and he dies a few hours after you do, his estate would not receive any of your property. He would have had to survive you by 120 hours. And that's the scenario that that particular statute, 755 ILCS 5/3-1, attempts to address. Again, the statute's pretty comprehensive in trying to address all the possible scenarios. Half-relatives inherit as if they were whole. That is, your sister, with whom you share a father but not a mother, has the same right to your property as she would if she had both parents in common. And that's something that we all have probably in our family trees at some point, if it's not directly somewhere along the line. That's 755 ILCS 5/2-1. Posthumous relatives. Relatives conceived before but born after you die inherit as if they have been born while you're alive. And that's at 5/2-3, and I covered that already. Immigration status. Relatives entitled to an intestate share of your property will inherit whether or not they're citizens or legally in the United States. And that's, you know, that makes sense. Your immigration status, and we were all at some point, you know, somewhere, especially since we're talking about the family tree. You know, mine's not so far down the line that over COVID we're goofing around and somehow I got on this list and was being contacted by a law firm in Dublin who would, for $3,500, get me dual citizenship because I was that close or not that far away from when, you know, my relatives came over on the boat. So, happens. And the whole idea of the statute is to what? Get the person's property to their relatives. Killing the deceased person. Someone who intentionally and unjustifiably kills the deceased will not receive the property. And that's 5/2-6. If someone committed an offense against someone who's elderly or disabled, a person who commits certain offenses against those individuals, primarily those involving exploitation, abuse, or neglect, will not receive a share of the decedent's property. That's 5/2-6.2 and 6.6. And again, that goes to the equity, the fairness. And then finally, advancements. If you give property to a relative during your lifetime, the value of the property is subtracted from your relative's share only if you wrote this down at the time of the gift or your relative admits this in writing. So in other words, you wrote it down somewhere that, hey, Johnny gets whatever piece of property and whatever the value of that piece of property, and that should be subtracted from my estate or his share of my estate. Which Johnny probably lost the writing, right? Not going to find that. But anyway, that's what that provides, and that's 5/2-5. Pay attention to what I ask you to do for this week. Give it your best effort, because these are things you need to know, and they're going to, whether somebody dies with a will or without a will, it all coincides. It all goes together. It all goes to probate. There's a couple different terms in what we call people and documents in probate, but it's all the same. The process is all the same. Sometimes intestate succession might be easier. Next week, we'll get into the cases a little bit, but this is really something that you need to pay attention to and understand. And I wouldn't say that you can go running to your relatives or your friends and say, hey, you don't even need a will, because by now you've looked at property and how property can be held, and after these 2 weeks, you'll understand how property can be passed a little better. But there may be a need for a will, and especially when we get to the wills, we'll talk about if you have minor children. It gives you some ability to say or give what you would like to happen. It doesn't give you an absolute, but it certainly allows you to state your wishes, whereas in intestate succession, you're not stating your wishes at all. You couldn't say that, you know, maybe you don't want to give your property to some of these people. The statute says they're getting it. That's your introduction to the laws of intestacy in Illinois. Week 4, we're a fourth of the way, 25% through the semester. It's gone quick. We'll be at the 8-week point pretty soon. Keep doing the work. Do it ahead of time. Don't do it the last minute. It's imperative that you do so, because it's going to pile up on you if you don't. And just like in the practice of law, you let it pile up and bad things happen. I appreciate your efforts these first 4 weeks. If you need me, you know where to find me.